From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 26th day of September 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain markets with Bruce Bostard, the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Along the way, we'll talk with the executive director of the Eastern Illinois Food Bank. His name is Jim Hires. And then in the second half hour of the program on most of these radio stations, we'll call it our Harvest Hour, Aaron Johnson, the senior vice president and a native of my home county, Logan County in Illinois, will join us from Farm Credit Services to take up finances in farm country. That all happens on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL Public Radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on a Friday afternoon, this is the way that the things settled in the wheat pit for the day. Nearby December contract at 716, down 20 and a quarter today. March at 737, 19 and a half lower. And May wheat at 751, 19 and a half cents lower. December corn futures down 15 and a quarter today at 543. The March 561, 15 cents lower. May futures 572 and a half, down 14 and three quarters. And July corn futures $5.82 and a half cents, 13 and three quarters of a cent lower. November soybeans $11.64, 19 cents lower. January at $11.80 and a half, down 19 in the March. $11.94 and a quarter, down 18 and a quarter. May futures $12.07, 17 and a half cents lower. October bean meal at $3.15, down 8 and a half cents, or $8.40 rather. And October bean oil at $47.40, down 37 cents today. October live cattle futures unchanged at $100.95, December at $102.80, 17 and a half cents higher on the afternoon. October feeder cattle at $105.80, $1.05 lower. November's at $105.57 and a half, down 80 cents. And the October lean hog futures today settled at $69.62 and a half, 35 cents higher, but the December futures were down 7.5 cents to settle at $66.05. That all on this Friday afternoon. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning on most of these radio stations to hear Commodity Week, our weekly look at what's happening in the marketplace, or you can always hear it at WILLAG.org. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. October ethanol at 225 and 7 tenths is just about unchanged. Crude oil futures are trading $1.92 lower in the nearby contract at 106.10. And the RBOB gasoline at 266 and 4 tenths is down 3 and 3 tenths of a cent. Heating oil futures at $3 even, are down 2 and a half cents on the afternoon. And the propane is trading 2 cents lower at $1.54. Gold futures at $882.90, up $5.20. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,029 is just about 8 points higher at this hour. U.S. dollar at 76.93, down 0.07. And the CRB index on the afternoon is currently trading at 363.47. That's down 5.55. The S&P index at 1201.47, down 7.71. And the Goldman Sachs at 657.16 is down 8.23 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. It says in east central and southern Indiana, skies should be mostly cloudy, elsewhere mostly clear, lows in the 50s. Tomorrow in northwestern Illinois, becoming partly sunny. In southern, eastern, and southern and eastern, rather, Indiana, mix of clouds and some sunshine. Elsewhere sunny, highs will range from 78 in northeastern Indiana to 86 in southern Illinois tomorrow. Mostly dry and warm weather will continue right on through Sunday. Only a few isolated light showers possible in the northern part of Illinois. A cold front expected to pass through the two-state area Monday afternoon and evening, and that should trigger some scattered showers Monday afternoon through Tuesday night.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Basedifer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. Time to take a look at what's been happening in the grain and oil seed and livestock markets, along with the outside markets and the financial markets. And we'll start there probably this afternoon when we talk with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Hi, Mike.
Hi there, Todd.
How are you today?
Hey, we're living a dream. Another Friday, and we've survived it.
Well, that's easier said than done when you have the financial markets crumbling sometimes and bouncing back on occasion, and Washington Mutual being taken over by the government and sold to Chase. Is that right? Who did they get sold to?
Yeah, J.P. Morgan Chase.
J.P. Morgan Chase.
And the U.S. Mint just came out and said they suspended the coining of 24-karat gold pieces because demand's exceeding supply. So kind of gives you an idea what's happening out there right now.
Oh, my. People are hoarding gold at this point?
Yeah, and the physicals, too. You know, that's the amazing part about it is, you know, there's people that are really looking at putting cash away and putting, you know, physical gold away. And there's going to be a lot of mattress stuffing if we don't get this bailout this weekend, I fear.
Well, let's talk about what it all means. And maybe we can put it in perspective of agriculture. And the question, I suppose, of the day is this. You're a producer. I don't know that it really matters at this time how much you've got sold or what you don't have sold. And let's say that you have to store at the elevator if you're going to store. The question really is $5 for corn enough? And then I suppose there are divergent views on that point. Either we're thinking that $5 and a billion bushel carryout, if you look at last year's scenario, is way too low, or if the financial crisis hits, may actually be a very high price. What do you think?
I think for 10 days, storage would be just fine because I think you're going to have a lot of information between now and here and the end of the month and end of the quarter as well. To put it into a perspective that I think the producers can understand really well without going into too much detail because of time constraints, we've got a record low of unleaded gasoline stocks right now, just around 179 million barrels, the lowest since 1964, 1967, when the Department of Energy was starting to track this. It's a record low, yet we lost over 6 cents a gallon this week, and we've lost 25 cents a gallon versus a month ago. So we've had almost a 10% decline in futures price, but we've got a record low in terms of supply. And I think that paints a perfect picture of the example of the trade bias and the psychology that the lower demand, the recession, the global economic slowdown is already being priced into the futures market. And, you know, this week was disappointing. We lost our corn and wheat gains for the week. It's not surprising, though, given the harvest weather, the firm dollar, and the lack of conviction seen this week and no bailout. But I think next week could be a pretty decent week if we get the bailout. And I think technically the markets did a lot for us because if Dease wheat can get above 750, Dease corn can get above 570, 580 level, no beans get back above $12, all those on a closing basis, I think, Todd, that you could extend gains and you'd see the long comeback in, hopefully led by the crude oil and led by the copper, and you'd get the conviction back that you've got a bailout plan and you've got some risk premium to put back on the table. It's not a bullish scenario, but it is a scenario that says to us, maybe we've gotten too undervalued, and I think this unleaded market certainly paints that picture.
Mm-hmm. So your view here is that 10 days is enough to get it figured out, or at least get a good shot at figuring out, and then we'll be able to know where things are headed.
Yes, I would not want to store corn more than 10 days commercially at this point, because the yields are good. I mean, they really are so far, but we knew the early yields would be good, and
right.
So I think 10 days from now, we'll start getting into more of the medium corn, the corn that had a little bit of stress to it, the corn that had to be replanted, that corn's coming. And so I think 10 days will do a lot for us as far as making a good decision, a well-informed decision, I should say.
Yeah, I suppose given the crop and how it was put in the ground for both corn and soybeans, it would seem to me that it's really not the first half of the crop that's going to make or break this one, and it may be entirely different than the second half of the crop as it comes into the bin.
I think that's an excellent point.
Well, okay. Score one for me.
You're not used to the short answers from me.
No, I'm not. I wasn't ready to do anything else.
Well, we had a hogs and pigs report.
Well, those numbers in front of me. Why don't you go through them, though?
Well, it did show the producers did liquidate. That's the good news. But the bad news is there's still a lot of hogs to go through the next 2 months. We saw the kept for breeding at 97%. The June to August pid crop at 101%, and the septa-no farrowings at 95%. So those are the good numbers showing the producers are starting to liquidate some. The bad numbers are that we've got the June to August pig crop at 101, which is above estimates, the June to August pigs per litter at 102, which is at the high end of estimates, and then the most bearish numbers probably are the hogs weighing 120 all the way up to 180 and over. Both came in at 106. So we've got a lot of near-term market-ready hogs coming here the next 60 days.
What else have you been watching in the marketplace? I mean, what is the, I guess, not you, but what are farmers asking you at this point? What are they most interested in? Do they call up and say what's going to happen in the financial market, or are they called up and worried about next year's production cost? What kinds of things do they discuss with you?
I don't know whether it was because of President Bush's speech, but the last 2 days in particular, producers have called up asking specifically, should I take my grain check money and put it in my safe? I'm not kidding you. I've had questions like that. I've also had questions from producers, what do I do with my kids' college tuition, set aside IRA, 401k retirement? And you know, we don't sell securities. We don't have stock brokerage licenses, so we can't do a lot in terms of giving them, can't do anything in terms of giving them official advice. But it's been remarkable the last week. Most clients, if they haven't asked about off the combine corn sales or off the combine bean sales, that has been 90% of the questions has been completely financially related. And you know, the opinion of, are we going into a recession or is this going to be a full-blown depression? You know, that's the producers are very, very wise. They understand what's going on out there better than the poor people that don't have a brain in Washington or the poor people that don't have a brain on Wall Street.
Well, on that comment, I think we'll let you go.
All right. You have a great weekend.
Hey, you too.
Okay. Thanks, Todd.
Yep. Mike Zuzalo is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. He joins us on a Friday afternoon from his office in Lafayette, Indiana.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of WILL Public Radio for the farming world. I'm your host, University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Please visit our website. The address is willag.org. If you go there by about 6 o'clock tonight, that's a Friday evening, you can listen to our Commodity Week program. We record that at 4:30 in the afternoon and post it to the website before it ever airs on any of our radio stations. Or you can pick it up on many of the radio stations around the state of Illinois, including WILL right here, and WTIM, WHOW, and WKEI, Commodity Week. It's our weekly look at what happened in the commodity markets. You can always hear it at willag.org. Now up next, in just a moment or two, we'll hear a conversation I had this morning with Jim Hires. He's the executive director of the Eastern Illinois Food Bank. As you know, he and I have been participating in the food bank's $25 challenge, trying to eat all week for 7 days on just $25. Hi, Jim. How are you this morning?
I'm great, Todd. Thank you for calling.
Well, I'm hungry. And, you know, last night was actually the first night I went home from work hungry, and I went to bed hungry, and it wasn't a very nice feeling, frankly. Are you making it okay in this $25 challenge?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned yesterday. Yesterday was my worst day in terms of feeling hunger pangs and thinking more about food. I was involved in speaking yesterday several times, and I was out of in Rantoul, Illinois, and I had to make four or five presentations in an afternoon, and All I thought about was food for some reason, and that's the first day that's happened.
Yeah, I was in the same boat, and I know we're in the process of doing this to highlight the hunger around the eastern part of Illinois and around the state and the nation as well, but it wasn't a nice feeling, I have to admit, and it's still not a nice feeling. I'm still hungry today, actually. I've been hungry all morning, but I've been holding on.
Well, I think the thing that I've realized through all this is most of the time I'm not hungry, but what I have been is greatly inconvenienced.
That too.
Because it's changed my thought process, and it's changed how I view mealtime and how I view my day. And if I'm doing this, there are millions of people and thousands of people in East Central Illinois who are having to do this on a daily basis.
Yeah, I was in the same boat. I was making some serious choices about what was going to happen, and I made bad choices yesterday, actually, which was part of the reason. I didn't have the glass of milk I expected to have in the morning. Because of my normal routine, I just gotten up and I was thinking, well, I'll have coffee at work and no big deal. That is the one luxury I did allow myself, I must admit. And then I was hungry at the noon hour, and I hopped over and I had a cup of hot and sour soup, which cost $2.71. Now I'm doing it on the $3.45 or that just above $3, which meant I really couldn't do anything the rest of the day. I had a glass of milk when I got home, and that was it. So bad choices on my part.
Well, and I think that highlights the whole thing. It's really not the fact that we're trying to get, you know, it's an experiment to allow people to experience what other people experience a great deal of the time. And there's no, it's kind of a gray area, you know, like if this was your lifestyle, you would learn to adapt a great deal and be more resourceful than obviously I've been or you've been all week, because we haven't been confronted with this.
Speaking of resourceful, so let's get to what the food bank does. And I'll remind folks that I sat on the board at the food bank. So when you hear me talk about this, I have a bias, and I think the food bank is a good place to volunteer. And Jim is the executive director there. And the food bank has a couple of missions. Jim, how many does it serve in the 14 counties across East Central Illinois?
Well, we're a unique organization. We're part of a network of food banks around the country, and there are 8 food banks that serve Illinois, that every county is covered by a food bank. And a food bank provides food to emergency food programs, such as food pantries, soup kitchens, snack programs. And in our particular 14-county area, there are 260 programs that we provide food for. They range from large pantries to small pantries. 90% of those are faith-based. That means they're located in a church or along with a church, and the rest are community-based. And then, of course, we've got feeding programs with shelters and soup kitchens and a myriad of snack programs for children.
A lot of times these food banks, there are many more out there than what the Eastern Illinois Food Bank services, and they buy food off the shelf or take donations, but oftentimes if they buy food, it's hard for them, just like it is hard for you and I to try to make it through on a $25 bill for a week. But the Eastern Illinois Food Bank can make those dollars go a lot further.
Yes, we can. I think it's because of our network that we belong to. If you donate $1 to the food bank, we can secure $10 worth of food, and we pass that on to the pantries and to the soup kitchens. It averages to our cost about 16 cents a pound for us to acquire the food, and our pantries end up paying about 8 cents a pound for delivery of that food. So it's a remarkable, remarkable thing what we're able to do. We have to secure enough food every month to distribute about 520,000 pounds of food a month to reach the almost 45,000 people who are served each month in our area.
Wow. How many hungry do you think that are in the area?
We estimate, based on the figures of poverty in our 14 counties, that at any given day there are 136,000 people in our 14 counties that are at risk for hunger. And we know that we're not serving all those people, we don't know where they are and they can't be reached, or B, they found some other source. But doing 35,000 people or 45,000 people a month is kind of making a dent. We just have a long way to go.
Making a dent, but a long way to go. Hey, and I read in an email from you, but we haven't talked about this, that a big grant came through and distribution is going to get easier for the Eastern Illinois Food Bank.
We've been very fortunate that this year we've gotten grants from two Rotary Clubs in Champaign, Illinois, and we're allowed to purchase trucks to replace trucks in our fleet. And then we acquired a new truck through a grant to allow us to do more retail store pickups and more pickups of donated food around our area, because we're starting to have to reach out much further than we used to get donated food. So the primary purpose of this new truck is to free up a truck to do store pickups and pickups of donated food around our 14 counties. Please, we're just happy as we can be.
I know. I know we're pleased about that one. Well, Jim, thanks for keeping up the good work. Thanks for this $25 challenge. I know it's nationwide, or at least statewide. Everybody else making it through okay?
Well, I've been blogging with my friends across the state, and it's really interesting to hear people. I think the thing that we have to remember, Todd, that when I finish 2 days from now and when you finish tomorrow, we're done.
Right.
People aren't done. They have to do this every week. They go through this every month. They have to struggle and balance and make choices that heretofore we haven't had to make.
Jim, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
And that is Jim Hires. He's the executive director of the Eastern Illinois Food Bank.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
It's a Friday afternoon. Time to take a look at the cash grain market. Joining us from the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois, is Bruce Bostard. He's the general manager of the 10 elevator locations. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Well, I bet you're taking some grain in some of those elevators. Who's busy and who's not?
Buckley and North is basically rolling. We're seeing quite a few soybeans. If you get into the Buckley, Danforth, Gilman area, you start getting south of there, and we're just a little bit slow here around Ludlow and Paxton. But the beans are starting to come in. The moisture is good on them. The corn doesn't seem like it wants to dry down too badly. It's in the low 20s up to about 30.
There were some quick ships on. I don't know whether you were running those.
We were running some quick ship programs on soybeans. We've seen those starting to back away as the volume picks up on nearby beans, although your straight fall bids have been improving a little bit on beans and a couple cents on corn, too.
What are you hearing on yields?
Everyone has been pretty closed mouth so far on the yields. Sometimes that means a little bit better than what they were anticipating. Everybody's been kind of building themselves up for disappointing yields for the last month or so.
Yeah, I was asking my brother last night, and they haven't started to move really in Logan County, but he says nobody ever calls in and says, yeah, these are really bad yields.
Yeah. Talking to a guy in Logan County earlier today, not far from home for you, and he said he'd had enough of waiting. It wasn't drying down. He was going to fire the combine up this afternoon.
Oh, well, he'll get charged, won't he?
Yeah, that'll get everyone fired up.
Yeah, well, that will get everybody charged or fired up, and he'll probably get charged for drying, no doubt.
Yes, he will.
One. Well, what are your bids for the day?
We are at 507 on nearby corn and 1104 on soybeans.
All right, thanks much.
Thank you.
That's Bruce Bostard. He's with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens on a Friday afternoon in just 2 minutes. Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, will be along. He'll help us take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast for the afternoon. And then we'll continue our Harvest Hour conversations. Aaron Johnson of Farm Credit Services will join us in the second half hour of the Closing Mark Report on most of these radio stations.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. A Sangamon County judge is allowing a lawsuit to stop Governor Rod Blagojevich from moving Transportation Department jobs to Southern Illinois. Blagojevich wants to send the state's Traffic Safety Division to Harrisburg to help its struggling economy and escape high Springfield rent. Lawmakers have voted to restore funding for state parks and human services in Illinois. Now a Kickapoo State Park booster says people need to put pressure on the governor to sign the bill. Fred Hubbard of Danville says a motorcycle rally tomorrow in Springfield was originally aimed at legislators, but now is aimed solely at sending a message to the governor. Kickapoo State Park is one of the parks scheduled to close under the governor's mandatory budget veto. Hubbard says he also expects a contingent from Weldon Springs State Park near Clinton to attend tomorrow's rally. The parents of two girls allegedly abused by former teacher John White are suing the Normal School District's district officials and the now jailed White. The lawsuit filed yesterday contends school officials failed to report misconduct by White that had been brought to their attention. The suit seeks more than $50,000 plus punitive damages. The Don Moyers Boys and Girls Club hopes Beanbag will be a popular fundraising event for years to come. The organization is holding its first Champaign-Urbana Bags Tournament this weekend. Green Street in Champaign's campus town will be closed to traffic tonight for competition between two-person teams. The tournament continues tomorrow and Sunday at Neal and Park Streets in downtown Champaign. Parkland College officials say their annual fundraising campaign has already raised about $1 million. That's 25% more than what they had raised at this time a year ago. Parkland's goal this year is to raise $2 million by the end of October. They raised $1.8 million last year. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon, time to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather. Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, is with us this afternoon. Hi, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
How are you today?
Not too bad. Beautiful fall day out there.
Boy, it is a gorgeous day. We're going to continue that through the weekend?
Yeah, I think so. Heard you talking to about the drying down of the corn on the last interview there, and looks like conditions will be a lot more favorable for that. We're getting a little bit of a breeze today, which we haven't had much of this week. We've had very low winds, so we haven't had much mixing of the air, even though the air has been tended to be on the dry side. But we got dew points down in the 40s to low 50s today, and a little bit of a breeze, so and lots of sunshine. And temperatures near, around 80 right now. So we should be getting some good drying conditions through the weekend before we start to turn cooler next week.
I saw that. We're going to turn a lot cooler later in the week, I guess early in the week next week. But when does that cold front shift through?
Well, there'll actually be a weaker one that'll come through early in the week, Monday, Tuesday. But the coolest air, it looks like it'll get here sometime during the day on Thursday. It looks like we have a fairly strong cold front moving through on Thursday, and that'll drop temperatures to well below normal for this time of year. You know, this last week we've been running about 10 degrees above normal, both mostly on the highs, but even the lows have been above normal despite being in the 50s. And by the time we get to this point next week, it'll be quite a bit different. We'll probably be seeing highs in the 60s and lows probably in the 40s. I don't know if we'll see any 30s in Illinois at all, but certainly there probably will be some frost in the northern parts of the Midwest.
And then if you look a little further out, what do you see?
Well, it looks like a fairly progressive weather pattern right now. And we'll probably, once this large high next week moves east, that'll give us a good warm-up. But then it looks like another shot of cold air coming in at the end of the period. Again, that's pretty far out at this point. But, you know, we will be getting into mid-October, and so it'll be time for the cooler weather to start moving in. But it looks like we'll be in a fairly changeable weather pattern for the next couple of weeks.
And as we look out here, people will be interested in when the normal frost dates are. And this time around, I don't know whether you've got them all in front of you, but maybe you could go from south to north and
sure.
Give us what what's like across the state of Illinois.
Well, you know, the midpoint is really here in central Illinois. So we're roughly about October 14th. That line extends roughly between Quincy and Moline to about just south of Champaign. Up around the Rockford area, northern Illinois, it's about October 7th is the mean date. And from roughly St. Louis, south of the line from St. Louis to Paducah, it's about October 21st. So any time from October 7th to 21st as you progress southward through the state is the median date. So there's basically at that date there's a 50-50 chance, but we are coming up to that time.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon.
Okay, Todd.
Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, joins us here on a Friday afternoon on the closing market report for some of our listeners. We'll say goodbye now. For the rest of you, during the Harvest Hour edition of the closing market report, the second half hour, we'll talk with Aaron Johnson. He is a senior VP, if I remember right, at Farm Credit Services right here in East Central Illinois. We'll take up financing the farm during the Harvest Hour edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Warden Martin Subaru in Savoy. At Subaru's assembly plant in Lafayette, Indiana, a zero landfill status is designed to save cost and our future environment. It is part of what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Information online at wardenmartin.com or 352-8910.
Oh, I guess Scott Moe is not with us this afternoon. Oh, he is with us this afternoon. I heard a dial tone there and thought we'd lost you, Scott,
from the other line.
Well, that must have been the other line. So tell me about the financial markets.
Well, the Dow and the NASDAQ remain in a narrow trading range as the market copes with the uncertainty over a passage of the rescue plan. President Bush told the nation in a brief remark this morning that the bank deal will be done even after negotiations in Congress stalled yesterday. Senate leaders have vowed to stay in session until the deal is complete. Many banks felt pressure today after Washington Mutual became the biggest bank failure in the nation's history. J.P. Morgan was adding over 18 points to the Dow after it acquired WaMu for $1.9 billion and raised $10 billion in new capital. Currently, New York Advanced Decline is 3-1 negative on issues and 5-2 negative on volume. The Dow Jones Industrials are currently at 11,074. That's up 60 points on the volume of just over 886 million shares trading hands. Transports are at 46.80. That's down 83 on the day. Utilities are off 7 at 441, NASDAQ's down 29 at 2156, and the S&P 500's at 1197, that's off 11 on the day. Currently at 574 advancing issues, 2582 declining with 53 issues unchanged on the day. The November bond is at 117 and 1430 seconds, that's up 21 30 seconds on the day, brings long bond yield to a 435. Oil's off 85 cents a barrel at 107.17, and a London afternoon gold fix is at $902 an ounce. That's up $13.50. Once again, the Dow Jones Industrials are currently at 11,074. That's up 60 points on the day. This is Scott Moe with Wachovia Securities. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks much to Scott Moe for joining us on a Friday afternoon from Wachovia Securities. Check in on the financial markets. You're listening to the Harvest Hour edition of the Closing Market Report. We'll open up the phone lines now for your questions about finances in agricultural arena. Aaron Johnson, who is a senior vice president of field operations for Farm Credit Services of Illinois, joins us. That is the new office space, actually, is just outside of Mahomet. Many of you, if you travel along Interstate 74, have probably seen that big building. How are the new digs, by the way?
Oh, they're very nice. We just moved in the middle of June, and we're still getting adapted, but it's a wonderful facility.
What does a senior vice president do?
Well, I really manage field operations in the southern 60 counties of Illinois, along with Lauren Leskis. And that includes 21 branch offices now. We've got about 8,000 farm customers.
And what is Farm Credit Services?
We loan money to agriculture, and we sell crop insurance to agriculture. So we're very simple in that all we do is deal with agriculture, real estate loans, machinery and operating loans, and then crop insurance.
And this is something that's available in every state, but sometimes it's divvied up. There are two farm credits in the state of Illinois, for
instance. Yes, there are. Yeah, I think there's around 90 associations nationwide, and our mission is to serve agriculture in the areas that we're chartered to loan money and offer crop insurance in.
I'll bet some producers may have some questions for you. We'll find that out here shortly. We'll open the phone lines up. If you'd like to join this conversation this afternoon, we're talking with Aaron Johnson. He's the senior vice president field operations for Farm Credit Services of Illinois. They service the bottom half, really, 60 counties in Illinois. And you can join the conversation at 217-333-9455 or 800-222-9455. I'll give you those numbers again. 217-333-9455, 800-222-9455. Those last set of numbers spell W-I-L-L. You've been busy all week as it's been Farm Safety and Health Week, National Farm Safety and Health Week. And you probably served a few meals somewhere, I would suspect. Is that right?
Yes, I think probably over 1,000 meals and maybe as many as 1,200 or 1,300 now. We started our Meals in the Field initiative about 7 or 8 years ago, and it's grown, and we do it in 23 locations. So each one of our branch offices is at least at one farm each day. And we started this because we had customers and friends who had had accidents on the farm. We know that agriculture is one of the more hazardous occupations. And what we want to do is let our customers know how much we care about them during harvest and get them to take a break. It's been shown that if you take a break, get out of the combine, and take that half-hour lunch, that it really improves safety. So that's our goal for the event for this week.
Yeah, half-hour lunch, and then according to Bob Aharon, who is the farm safety specialist, you really need to take 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes in the afternoon. And actually more than that, every couple, 2.5 hours, get out of the tractor or the combine and take a break. And it really, really helps out in terms of keeping the producer alert and the farm workers alert and avoiding those accidents. And being well-fed helps the process, too, although you could be well-fed and want to take a nap in the afternoon. And I usually tell producers, and I'll start next week, farmers are just really getting rolling, and I'll start telling them to pull over and take a nap during my show in the afternoon. Yeah, mostly because they can listen to it after the fact if they want to on willag.org. But it's important in terms of the farm safety and health of the community. And speaking of the health of the community, tell me about the financial health of the community. There's been a lot of discussion on the programs that we host here on all these stations, the ag programs, about the health of the elevators, the health of the farm. Where do we stand these days in terms of financial health?
Well, it's a little bit interesting on this side because agriculture has really been the shining star of the economy. For the past 2 years or so, at least. And, you know, our farmers have had good crops, good prices. The income levels have been up. Land values have stabilized or risen. And at Farm Credit Services and around the Midwest, there's plenty of capital credit available for the farmers. And we're a cooperative, so we're not managed by stockholders. We're managed by our customers. And that seems to make a difference in these times. So we've kind of stood out as a success story in the economy here lately.
Yeah, for those who remember, you're really a conglomerate of the old Production Credit Association, or PCA, which made production loans for the year, and the Federal Land Bank, which made land loans for farmers, right?
Yes, we're started in 1916, so we have a long history.
You have a very long history. Let's talk about land. What are you hearing on prices?
Well, it was my opinion that the land market had kind of leveled off maybe in the last 6 months, but the last few auctions we've had here in central Illinois on top class ground were between $8,000 and $9,000 an acre. So if that's going to continue, then that trend is up again from what we've seen. You know, in the past 24 months, we were probably in that $5,000 to $5,500 range. We jumped up to $6,500 or $7,000, And so we'll see what the next few sales bring. There were only 3 or 4 sales here lately, but they've been very strong.
That amazes me that they've been that strong. I guess we've been in financial turmoil for a while, but any of those come in the midst of some of this financial turmoil, or were they really ahead of that?
Well, the financial turmoil is so new that I think these decisions were probably made ahead of that. But, you know, I don't know what this situation that we're in now is going to lead us to. We're just going to have to wait and see because it's so volatile.
Well, let's turn our attention to the production side, because there's some real issues that producers will have to deal with. One of them is that fertilizer costs are really high. They're going to have fairly large production loans, I assume, to get that fertilizer bought. And they're having to buy it a whole lot earlier than they used to.
Yeah, it seems like the borrowing trends have changed in the past few years, as the prepaids are wanted now in August and September for the next year's inputs a lot, to get the discounts and to lock in prices. So what our borrowers and our customers and the farmers around the state are charged with is trying to balance that input cost with locking in a grain price that for next year's crop that's going to allow them to cover these higher input costs. There's no doubt that input costs have gone up considerably here in the last 18 months.
Does that pose challenges for the Farm Credit Service?
Well, it does in the way we work with our customers because the timing of the money, the funds that are needed, is different than it used to be. It might have been March, April, May before. Now it's coming the year prior. So, you know, there's capital outlay from the farmer's aspect that is earlier than it used to be in the season.
But what problems does it create? I mean, what kinds of things, other than the producer has capital outlay and I suppose interest that he's not accruing himself and that he's paying, so he's got more interest over time, I would think. But what other kinds of problems does it create?
Really, the challenge is matching that next year's crop up with the commodity prices and being able to market or lock in a price on next year's grain. The risk that the farmers run today is the high input cost today and not knowing what that crop might be worth at the end of next fall when it's harvested. And there's options for them on puts and calls and such, and that all runs into money. So they've got a much bigger job today on the marketing end than they did with input costs at this level.
And it's all about the risk management. And the risk management are the puts and the calls and those sorts of options and hedges and all kinds of things that we talk about on the air a lot here. But that burden keeps being shifted to the small businessman, I suppose, or the farmer at this point, because the elevator sometimes isn't willing to price things out that far ahead. Certainly, and I guess that's really where the bigger problem is that as a service agency, you'd like to have them get everything sort of settled and locked in, but it's not. They have to borrow earlier and sell later, and there's a lot of time in between those two things that happen.
Yes, and that volatility that the farmer has to put up with during that period of time when inputs are locked in versus when they can actually market and sell their grain seems to be a lot larger than it was in the past years with the swings in the commodity prices and the input costs. It's just really putting more of a challenge on our farmers, and it is shifting. You know, it's shifting that responsibility to the farmer that used to be taken up by different stages along the marketing line.
Well, does it make it easier for you to make loans to larger farmers, smaller farmers, better capitalized farmers? And I mean, I suppose by capitalized, I guess by assets in terms of those who own more land. What difference does it make?
There's really no difference in size. The difference, I think, becomes in working capital positions, what we call it. That's always the liquidity position that a farmer has. And today, with the swings that we see in commodity prices, that working capital position is king, and I think it will be for some time now.
Mel, define working capital for me in this case.
It's really your cash position. It's the ability to prepay the debts that you've got coming due in the next year. So it's the cash and grain on hand and prepaid expenses that you have compared to the operating loans and the principal payments on term debt within a year. So it's a liquidity position that would be on the top of a balance sheet. And it's what allows you to survive some of those swings if it takes a negative direction on you and still keep your operation moving forward.
How do farmers have difficulty creating that liquidity position sometimes?
It hasn't been a problem. And matter of fact, that's why most of the farmers have been very successful over the past few years, because the margins have been there and they've been able to build that working capital position. And I think it's continuing yet today. The question is, with the higher input costs now that are going into it, it's going to start to put a squeeze on margins, and it'll be more difficult for them to maintain that working capital position going into the future.
Well, when we come back, maybe we can take that up and talk more about the liquidity position, the squeeze on margins, and all those sorts of things. We're talking with Aaron Johnson this afternoon. He's the Senior Vice President of Field Operations. We'll be back with him in just a couple minutes. And if you'd like to join that conversation, get on the line now at 217-333-9455 or 800-222-9455. Both of those spelled W-I-L-L at the end. You're listening to the Harvest Hour edition of the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm your host, Todd Gleason.
Today's programming is made possible in part by Ratio Architects, designers of the M2 on Neal mixed-use project in downtown Champaign, on the web at ratioarchitects.com.
Let's take a look at the weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana and the two-state region across Illinois and Indiana. Ed Kieser says this afternoon it'll be southern Indiana, partly to mostly sunny. Elsewhere sunny, highs will range from 77 in northern and eastern Indiana to 85 in southern Illinois. Tonight, Ed says, in east central and southern Indiana, mostly cloudy skies. Elsewhere, mostly clear, lows in the 50s. Tomorrow, in the northwestern part of Illinois, becoming partly sunny in southern and eastern Indiana, a mix of clouds and some sunshine. Elsewhere, sunny. Highs will range from 78 in northeastern Indiana to 86 in the southern part of Illinois. The extended forecast is a cold front expected to pass through the two-state area Monday afternoon and evening. A few pop-up showers, mostly afternoon showers, will be possible on Wednesday as the cold air aloft will make the atmosphere become a whole lot more unstable. Temps will turn significantly cooler for a few days with below-average readings expected Tuesday night through Thursday of next week. Highs Wednesday, the coldest day, will only be in the upper 50s and the 60s. Lows on Wednesday through Friday mornings will mostly be in the 40s. A few mid-up 30s and upper 30s and patchy light frost will be possible in the normally colder spots in the north on Thursday and Friday morning. But a killing freeze not expected in Illinois and Indiana.
Today's programming is made possible by Silver Creek in downtown Urbana, serving lunch and dinner every day with a brunch on Sunday. For 17 years, Silver Creek has been bringing to the table freshly baked artisan breads, prime steaks and chops, fresh fish and pasta dishes, and delightful pastries made by Silver Creek's Swiss pastry chef.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is the Harvest Hour edition. Aaron Johnson, who's a senior vice president of field operations for Farm Credit Services of Illinois, is with us this afternoon. When we left you a bit earlier, Aaron, we were talking about liquidity and risk management. Does Farm Credit Services offer any opportunities for producers to learn about risk management or to use risk management in any way?
One of the things that we focused on about 4 or 5 years ago was specializing our crop insurance individuals who work with the farmers one-on-one. And we found that that's really offering a service to our customers that's hard to find in too many other places. We've got some of the most knowledgeable crop insurance specialists in the state for them to work with. And crop insurance is so detailed and so specifically based towards your individual operation anymore that you really need to work with someone who knows all the ins and outs of all the different policies. So one of the biggest tools in the market today is the crop insurance and how you use it to market your grain.
Are there things that producers need to be doing this fall in terms of crop insurance and maybe the federal crop insurance programs?
Yes, because there are actually changes in the farm bill with the crop insurance program for 2009. So you can start working with your crop insurance specialists as early into the fall as you want. Because you're going to have a lot of learning process between now and March before that buying decision's made.
Well, let's talk about some of the other programs that you have. I know this week you've been feeding farmers in the field, and apparently in Logan County.
In Logan County, yes.
One of my brothers today, is that right?
I got a phone call about 1:30. I understand one of your brothers was there today.
Well, I only have four that farm over there, so I don't know which one it was, but I'll bet they weren't in the field because I talked to them last night, so it must have been worth
it. I think they started today. The report I got was that they were in the field.
Oh, well, somebody got itchy over there, apparently. Yeah. They were ready to go. Tim said the corn was testing 24. He didn't think that they would go, but maybe they decided to do soybeans somewhere, so we'll find out. I'll give them a call over the weekend and find out what's happening then with them. That was this week, but there are other things that you're doing the rest of the fall.
Yeah, the rest of the fall, we partner with the Illinois pork producers, and we call it the Fall Harvest Tour. And we actually serve sack lunches with a pork burger and a soda and a candy bar to the people as they're delivering the grain to the grain elevators. And they come through and they can tell us and the pork producers how many meals they need for the people that are working on the farm that day. And it's just something else that we can do while they're harvesting to stay out of the way and still be of service. And those will be scattered around the 60 counties. I think there are about 60 of them planned and calendared with the pork producers. And I know the association in the northern half of Illinois is also involved in that. So you can look forward to seeing us at some of those events this fall.
How many meals do you expect to serve?
You know, at those events, I've been to a number of them myself, and they'll be between 75 and 350 each time.
Each time. That's a lot of pork burgers all the time. And, how long will you do it for?
I think we'll probably go until the end of harvest and maybe a week or two after. So I know they're scheduling it, and this year it's a little different because harvest is so late. So I would imagine they'll run at least through the middle of November this year.
Have you had discussions, speaking of harvest being late, about what that means to health and safety of producers, and if there's other things that Farm Credit Service can do to get the word out about taking some time, making sure they get meals, making sure they get rest? What kinds of things will you be doing other than these fall meals and the things that you've had in the system for a while?
Really what we do in the fall is just try to be there when they need something for us. Otherwise, it's not a good time for us to be making a lot of contacts because they're so busy. So if we can stop by every once in a while, see how they're doing, see if there are any questions that we can answer for them, possibly leave a soda or a candy bar on the road while they're, you know, in the combine, just to get them to take that break and get refreshed, because the hours are so long at this time of year that we just take every opportunity that we can to get them to take that break.
And then the last couple of minutes, maybe we should go back to those production loans, because fertilizer costs are so high, and there's a lot of risk in the financial system at this point. What are the things, and producers, you know, while they're really busy, tend to have actually a lot of time to think while they're on the combine or at on the end of the field waiting in the tractor or tractor, if they happen to be there, or at their office space at night, to think about how to manage that risk? What are the things that they need to put in their minds?
I think just the handling your financials as you used to and has always been proven, in that if you can keep your equity position and your working capital position strong, that allows you to have the risk management that you need. Should commodity prices turn a little bit lower, or should input costs continue to rise? Because anytime it's been good like it has been, and we know the profits have been there and commodity prices have risen, now the margins are going to shrink because input costs are going up, land costs have gone up. So at some point in here, that trend will turn down. And anytime that trend turns down, we know there's, you know, 12 to 18 months of pretty painful experience at the end, because that's when the cash flows turn negative. So if you can build yourself up in these good times to be able to handle that that difficulty when it comes, when that market might turn against us, be it ethanol or whatever happens to the commodity markets, that's probably the best thing you can do today, risk management wise, is just try and keep yourself in that kind of financial position.
Is there a balance sheet balance, I guess, between grain on hand, grain and oil seeds on hand, and liquid cash, which is makes it easier in the downturn times?
It really doesn't make any difference. It's all liquid if you've got the grain sitting there that hasn't been collected for yet, or cash in the bank. As long as you can turn it into cash, it just fits your marketing plan then and what your preference is.
Aaron, thanks for being on the show with us today.
Thank you very much, Todd.
Aaron Johnson is the Senior Vice President at Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Join us on the Harvest Hour edition of the Closing Market Report. We'll be back on Monday with more. I'm Todd Gleason.